always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with the books. We have pundits here. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Pramajyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. This is devotion, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu and Smaranam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve the ultimate end, the association of the Supreme Lord, in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatma's great souls strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Hare Krishna. So we are in the middle of, not in the middle actually, but quite in the beginning of the age called Kali Yuga. And as it was mentioned in a purport that in this age, the process of self-realization is chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Previously, there were Satyayuga, Dvaparayuga, Dvaparayuga, and the process was very much different. Like in Satyayuga, the process of self-realization was meditation, and it is described that the people were living a lot longer at that time, and to achieve perfection by meditation, people were living practically like 100,000 years, and process of achieving the perfection by meditation would take like 60,000 years. So this is not possible in this age. And in Treta Yuga, there was fire sacrifices. Like there are descriptions of the testing the potency of the fire sacrifices by offering a horse or a cow on the fire sacrifice. Not to kill them, but give them a new life. But today, but in this age, there are no such capable brahmanas to do that kind of sacrifice. So those sacrifices are actually forbidden in this age. And in Dwapara Yuga, there was opulent deity worship. But the process of self-realization of this age is very easy. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And it can be done by anybody, anywhere. In a purport to Mahamantra, Prabhupada actually mentions that even a child can take part of it, or even a dog can take part of it. We have actually practical experience on a daily Harinam in Mayapur. I used to join the daily Harinam every day, but nowadays I do it only once a week and do some other services also. Many times when we were out with that Harinam party, we had a flat bed rickshaw with a little canopy on the top, and we would have our speaker sound system set up, and we had also Kornitai deities on the very top, and we would bring them around Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna. And sometimes there was one particular dog who started follow us, and of course dogs, they don't have human vocal cords, but he was following us, and he was just howling while we were chanting. So he was also participating. And so it's not just Prabhupada's words that he says, even a dog can take part of it. It's true. So by this process we are getting our ultimate spiritual happiness, which the soul is looking for in this material world. Now, Krishna's body is said to consist of three elements. It's Satchit Ananda Vigraha. It's eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. And because we are parts and parcels of Krishna, we also have these qualities. And that is why we are looking for them constantly in this material world even. We try to be eternal, or at least we try to look young as long as possible. And we are seeking knowledge from different subject matters in this world. And everybody wants to be happy. We see even from the activities of the animals, like the dogs again, when they put their nose to a wrong place, they immediately get sick in India. And then let out some other kind of howling out of being afraid. So they don't want to suffer either. Yes, that's the ultimate condition of quality of a spiritual, to be happy. But in this material world, because material energy is consists of the nature of this material world is that it's temporary. It's full of ignorance and full of misery. So these eternity knowledge and bliss are difficult to find here. Okay, we may be attracted to different things in this material world, like new set of clothes, new car, a new house. But as soon as we get these things, well, we may feel happy for some time. As soon as we get these things, we are always also getting anxiety along with them. Even if we get money, we are afraid when we're going to lose it, or when do I have to spend it for some necessary basic necessities. But we are looking for that happiness which is coming from it, but it's only temporary, like it said. It's very flickering in this material world. We try to be eternally happy, but we are looking for that ever fresh moment which is there when we are getting some happiness in this material world. But who is ever fresh? Krishna. He's Navayovana. So actually, we are looking for Krishna. And that's why devotional service, we are doing all kinds of activities to please Krishna, because that is the original position of the living entity. Jivera Svarupa Hari Krishna Vidyadas. So the spiritual can only be happy in connection to Krishna. Well, in the West, we have this comparison analogy. Like, on the table, there's a bowl of hot soup, and the duty of the hand is supposed to take a spoon and put this soup in the mouth. But one day this hand decides that, why should I put this soup in the mouth? Why can't I enjoy it myself? So he went close to the soup and tries to enjoy the soup. But because it's hot, it only burns the fingers. And gradually, because he's not putting the soup in the mouth, the body doesn't get energy, so the hand gets very weak. And then he should realize that he should put the soup in the mouth. So in this way, we should always be engaged in service of Krishna, and thus become ultimately eternally happy. And in this age, just by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you, Gopala.
May that Vikaravya Prabhu to enlighten us more deeply.
Thank you. Om Jnana Chamandasya Vinayasya Chakshurya Kangya Tadmai Shri Namaha Ramo Vishnu Parayana Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanami Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nevashishashinvari Pashichari Shtani Vanchakalpa Tumisha Vipassindu Vyavacha Patitanam Padvedyo Vaishnavya Namaha Jaish Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupadananda Shri Veda Radha Subhasthi Deva Kanda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Gopinath Prabhu is describing how by chanting Hare Krishna we can get real peace and real happiness in this world. And that's what Prabhupada is saying in the purport here. He says, As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. So Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So there's two sevas, huh? Chant and
be happy.
So it's also the seva, huh? Be happy. Actually, Param Pooja Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying that the best preaching is a happy devotee. So we should chant and be happy. Both traditions are important. Kevala Ananda Kanda. That this chanting and dancing process is joyful, and we can become happy in this way. In 1991, I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement full-time. And I went on Pada Yatra. Pada means walking, and Yatra means festival. So I was with a group of around 20 devotees, and we were walking from Belfast, Ireland, to Moscow. So I walked with this group through Ireland, and UK, and Holland, and Belgium, and France, and Spain. We went by walk. So it was a very wonderful experience, because we're not just walking, we're also chanting.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And our walk, we'd walk between 6 kilometers would be a very short walk, 12 kilometers would be normal walk, and 20, 21, 22 kilometers would be a long walk. So every day we'd walk like this. And we'd stay in tents. You know, we'd put up like army tent. Mm-hmm. At night, you could sleep 20 people in the tent. Mm-hmm. 10 and 10. Okay. Like this. We had two tents, one for the gents, one for the ladies. So, and the grahastas, they had their own tents. Small, you know, for their families. And the ladies, they had this the pram, the stroller, and they were walking and pushing the stroller, you know, sometimes. So it was a very special experience. We're sleeping every night in a different place. One group of devotees would go ahead with the tents and the kitchen. And then the party would walk and they'd, where are they, where are they? Oh look, there they are. And then they'd find the tents. And you go, you take your luggage is along with the tents. You take your bucket. Everyone has a bucket. It's like life in a bucket. You wash your clothes, take a bath, sit for prasadam, shayarada vichaja. And everyone was very hungry, you know, after that walk. So the prasadam was always very special, tasty. There's no spice like hunger. You know, if you have good appetite, everything will taste good. So everyone is chanting all day long and prasadam. And then evening program is... And we also had a deity cart. We had Gornitai deities on a cart, and they were pulled by bulls, belgadi. Even Holland, Belgium, France, Spain, we had belgadi. Mm-hmm. We had bullocks. And one devotee would... So we had four bullocks. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice, because we would take bath, and we would be in our tent, and the bullocks would be there. So we're living... They were like family members, you know, we're living with them, the bullocks. And it was very, very special experience. And all day long, we would chant and distribute books also, stopping cars, whoever we meet, just give them Bhagavad Gita, their books. And we, in the morning, we would have a morning program. You wake up 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and you have your bucket and you take bath underneath the stars. Right? Every night, different place underneath the stars. And then Mangal Arti, they would be on the cart outside, outdoors. In like some farmer's field or something. And the pujari would put some candles. Mm-hmm. So we had beautiful candlelight Mangal Arti every day. Mm-hmm. And then devotees would sit and chant their japa together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna
Hare, 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 Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And it was very nice to hear the birds and everything. And then we would have Guru Puja also. And then Bhagavatam class, we all sit for Bhagavatam class. And then we have prasadam. Mm-hmm. And then we would I was in charge of the Harinam. Even I was a new Dukh Bhakta for a few months. They put me in charge of Harinam. And they said, okay, connect the bullocks to the cart, start the Harinam, and the Harinam would have to continue the whole day. So 6, 8, 10, 12 hours a day we do Harinam. It was very nice. And we would, during the Bhagavatam class, we would make sweet balls. You know, this laddu, we take condensed milk and coconut, ground coconut, and make balls. And that's it. Condensed milk and coconut. And then offer to Krishna. It was very tasty. So it was part of my seva to give out the sweet balls. We gave free, you know, whoever would accept. You know, we were just giving. So in order to be enthusiastic to give something, you have to have some appreciation also yourself. So I would daily minimum 10. You know? Is it still good? Yeah, it's good. Okay, let's distribute. Is it still good? Yeah, it's good. Okay, let's distribute some more. And we would go through 100, 200, maybe 300 every day, distributing to the people. So in the material world, Bhautik Jagat, there's a tendency that people are never satisfied. There's an expression, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Have you heard this expression? It's like you have, you know, your lawn, your grass, and your neighbor has his grass. And in between is a fence. So the grass is always greener, someone else's grass is always more green than your grass. You know, someone else's car is always nicer, someone else's house is always nicer, someone else's whatever they have, their school, you know, everything is always better than what I have. I'm always looking for something better. People are never satisfied. So I had a very special experience on this Padyatra. That one day I was my seva, sometimes I wash the pots. You don't always walk every day. Especially I was a new devotee. So new devotees, they give the menial seva. So I was washing the pots, sometimes I'd putting up the tents. So one day I was putting up the tents and I was thinking, you know, what I'm doing with this Padyatra, I'm so happy and so satisfied. I could be happy doing the same seva for the rest of my life with this group of people. So that's a very rare experience. People generally never experience in the material world. People are always looking for something better. But I was feeling completely satisfied. Bahut santusht, you know? Anand. So then shortly after that, my spiritual master, he was encouraging me to come to India to help prepare for Srila Prabhupada's centennial celebration. Prabhupada was 100 year anniversary in 1996. So this was in 1991-92. He said, please come to India. And I said, when would you like me to come? And he said, tomorrow. So I couldn't stay with the Padyatra. I was very happy, I was fully satisfied. Krishna gave me another service. So, and I was satisfied with that service also. And I'm satisfied with what I'm doing today. I'm satisfied being here with all of you right now. No place else I would rather be. So I'm feeling very happy and santush and satisfied by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And having this wonderful seva, like Gopinath Prabhu was saying, Jivera Srupa Hoy, Krishna and the Jivas. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. And Vishaya Vinivartante, Niraharasi Dehinaha, Rasavarjam Rasopyasya, Param Jusva Nivartate. That we can give up our desires for sense gratification only if we get something better. Param Jusva Nivartate. Param means topmost. Jusva means taste. Nivartate means get. If we get a higher taste, we can give up a lower taste. Just like if you're really, really hungry, bahut bhook, you know, you're starving, and you haven't eaten in 3 days, and you come back to the ashram, and you say, where is prasadam? And you say, oh, sorry, all the devotees, they went to Jagannath Puri, there's nobody here. What? There's nothing to eat? Oh, we have this, here's a plate, but it's 3 days old. You know, it's starting to get green color. and smelling bad. He said, give it to me, I'm hungry, I'll eat it, you know. And you start eating, and this person says, no. And he tries to take it away. No, I'm hungry. And they're like fighting over the plate, you know. And then someone says, wait, Rajbhog has come, you know. Ding, 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 ding. Shri, Shri, Radhagiri, Dari, Rajbhog has come. And then big thali of rasgullas, gulab jamuns, homemade ice cream, and rice dal chapatis, four sabjis, and pakoras, it's all come, paneer, and raita, big thali has come. And then you say, okay, give me that old thali, you know, and take this one. Okay, no problem. You get rid of that old thali, you take the new thali. So if you have something better, it's easy to give up something that's lower. So Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, kevala ananda kanda, that it gives us something better, and we can easily give up the lower things. And the thing that we get that is so much better, that we can become fully satisfied. Much chitta, much gata prana, bodhi antasparasparam, tatayantascham tu shanti cha, romanti cha. We can become fully satisfied, and we can get romanti, we can get great pleasure from Krishna consciousness. So I'm so happy to have this opportunity to be here this morning with all of you. Thank you all for coming. I'd like to thank Gopinath also for enlivening us, enlightening us. And I'd like to know if devotees have any comments or any questions.
Why
are
you not satisfied,
Prabhu? Why are you not satisfied? Well, if a devotee is practicing devotional service, but the devotee is not satisfied, there may be a number of different reasons why the devotee is not satisfied. One of the main reasons why devotees are not satisfied is due to aparadha, due to offenses. There are four different kinds of offenses. There's the nam aparad, when you're not chanting properly. And then there's the Vaishnava aparad, when you cause some disturbance to other devotees. Then there's the seva aparad, when you're doing your puja and other sevas and you're making some mistake like that. And then there's the jiva aparad, when you're making offenses to other living entities who may not be devotees. Like that. So any combination, any one or combination of these things can cause a disturbance in our consciousness. Like that. Of all the four, the Vaishnava aparada is the most dangerous. It's compared to a mad elephant offense. Like if the elephant goes into the garden and is angry, it can tear up everything and destroy the garden. So if we offend the devotees, it can cause very, very bad mishap in our spiritual life. And when that mishap happens, then we become dissatisfied and we leave the association of devotees. And that is, we lose the most valuable thing. The most valuable thing is association of devotees. So if one is doing this Vaishnava aparad, one can leave. And then nam aparad, this is also fairly serious. We should try to overcome this. If you chant nicely, you'll feel inspired. You know? And you get the inspiration from Krishna within the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, and you will not offend devotees. Okay. This seva aparad is not so serious. You just continue the seva and you gradually learn. You know, if you make some aparad, just do more seva, the aparad will be compensated for. And the jiva aparad, we should also try to avoid that, because actually Jivera Supuhari, Krishna, Nityadas, every jiva is a devotee. So some are more seriously practicing and some are less seriously practicing. But we should be careful not to offend any living entity from the President of the United States to the Kuta, you know? Everyone, we should try not to offend them. So one reason why we may not be satisfied in devotional service is we may be participating in any one or a combination of these four different aparadhas. So we should take a look and introspect and see where we are in this regard. and focus on chanting attentively, because 11th offense is inattentive chanting. And that is the root of all the other offenses in chanting. So if we can chant attentively, nicely, then our heart will become purified. We can get clear vision to understand how to avoid offenses.